I think part of what you guys are doing is you're showing people and giving them a way that they can hope in something bigger. And I appreciate Saul. I can tell, I worked for a construction company for a long time, and I can tell when someone, if it's more than just a job. And one of the ways I can tell is they don't meet here. They meet Monday through Friday, but not Thursday. Thursday's the day off. And a lot of times Thursday will come, and Saul will show up. And what are you doing here? It's your day off. You're not supposed to be here. He says, well, we've got to fill out this college application. He says, dude, you've got to catch up, and because he cares. And that's what the church is able to do, is help connect people who care with other people who can see this is making a difference in their lives. So thank you. I know this is like a buffet. You got a little bit of everything today. But thank you guys for coming today, and thank you for your work. So we are going to transition back to our Vintage Faith series. We're looking at things the early church was committed to. And this is our key verse. There's four things that the early church was committed to, and we're going to look at this and actually do this together today. We're going to break bread together today, and we're going to look at just a snippet of what this meant. And so this verse in Acts 2:42, this is right when the church was just forming. There were no church buildings yet. There was a gathering of believers, and this is what it says. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and that's where we are today, and to prayer. So we're going to look at what does it mean to be devoted to breaking of bread. And this is the New American Standard translation. It translates, this is literal, they were continually devoting themselves. There is a continual, ongoing devotion to breaking of bread. And to me, the way I work, I always like the new thing. The new thing is more exciting. And sometimes I have a breaking of bread group, and I'm really bad about getting ahead of scheduling that and letting everybody know, you know. And sometimes we miss it, you know. And I'll tell Greg, one of the other pastors here, yeah, Greg, you know, I just don't know if my getting in front of that, and Greg helps me a lot. He says four or five. He says, it is a command, you know. It is a command that you're supposed to do this and take it seriously. But this is one of the things the early church, if there's one of the things that is supposed to be part, a vital part that we're committed to, it's breaking bread as a family, as a body. And we're going to look at why. So why don't we pray? We've got a few minutes to look at why this is a key thing for being a Christian. God, thank you for this tradition that you established. It's important for our lives to realize the truth. God, help us to see that in our hearts. Please move in our hearts and show us the truth of who you are through this today. Amen. Amen. So I want to look at this tradition. We're going to look at when this happened, when Jesus did this. This was recorded, Jesus and the disciples, in Luke 22. This is one of the Gospels. So here's the example of what happened in the book of Luke. He took bread. He had given thanks, and he broke the bread, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he had a meal, and he held out the bread, and they did this together. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this is the cup that is poured out for you. This is the new covenant in my blood. So there is a tradition, he's saying, and they probably didn't understand this yet, because he had not given himself, given his life yet. But he's saying, this is what I'm doing. This is, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to make the ultimate sacrifice for all of you. The disciples it's clear they didn't understand the significance of this event. So this is a reminder, will be a reminder to them. So I'm going to do something you're not always supposed to do. I'm going to make an allegory. Anyone know what an allegory is? An allegory is, in the Bible, you're supposed to take things literally. What do we obey? But I'm going to look at what happened. This is before the crucifixion. I'm going to look at what happened after the crucifixion. Okay, so Christ had this tradition. He was crucified, and then he rose again. He came back. This is the end. That's a fact. It's a recorded fact. He rose again. And the disciples were discovering this. So they had heard the rumor that Christ had risen. Two chapters later in Luke, Luke 24, this is what happened. So the disciples are there. Christ reclines at the table with them. He took the bread and blessed it. And break it, he began giving it to them. So, this is a similar pattern. He sat down and they broke bread together. This is what happened. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. He broke bread and then they recognized him. So this is my allegory. Part of breaking bread is recognizing who Christ is in our lives, just like the disciples suddenly recognized Jesus Christ and the significance of his sacrifice. That's exactly what happened here. How do we know that? Let's look at the few verses that are just next in Luke. Oops. This is verse 34. The Lord really has risen. He really has risen and has appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he recognized him by the breaking of bread. So there is this tradition he did before he was crucified. He did this afterwards. And there's a process. Okay, Pastor Dean or Pastor Glenn, whichever you like better. is that something the early church did? That was just something Jesus did with the disciples. That was just for them. Is this a tradition the early church did? 1 Corinthians 11. That's funny. 1 Corinthians 11. This is a little small. Read this. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on that night when he was betrayed, took the bread. This is a recounting of that event. And when he had given that, he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. This is the symbol of what is happening. Do this in remembrance of me. That's the command. Do this in remembrance of me. So, why is this important? It's right there in the command. We forget. People forget. We forget. We're distracted by the things around us, the things we manage, the things we work on, the things our mind gets consumed with, the things that occupy our thoughts. Do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because we need the reminder. We need to be reminded. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. There is a new covenant. There is a new relationship. You need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. All of us. If we don't do this, we'll get distracted. We'll be consumed by something else. We will forget that we have a new life. And we'll go back to our old life because we forget. We forget. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you do this, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. This is the reality. There's actually disagreement between Orthodox churches. They think there's something different happening here. What's happening in this process is what this verse says. You're proclaiming the Lord's death and the need for his death. Now, the truth is, we don't like this. This is not a pleasant thought. It's nice. Don't you want to think of yourself? What type of person are you? I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. We like to think about ourselves as good, nice people. Paul said the cross was foolishness to the Greeks. They were into philosophy. The Jews didn't like it either. The Jews were very pragmatic. Just give me something that works. The cross, the reality is the only thing that can save us, save anyone, is the death of the Son of God. The only thing that can save us, to save anyone, the only thing adequate. And that we need to be reminded, everyone needs to be reminded of that truth. This reminds people of that. You know, God established this for the Jews, a reminder of how bad sin is. He had this sacrificial system. They used to sacrifice tens of thousands of animals. Can you imagine what that looked like? You're in the temple. To sacrifice an animal is not a pretty thing. They would cut its throat, drain the blood out. Not a couple. During a festival, tens of thousands. Could you imagine the mess? To say sin is a serious thing. The only thing. And we need to be reminded of that. Because who wants to think of themselves that way? So this is what breaking of bread was established for, was to help people to connect with the truth. I want to look in, I'm going to give you the last verse for today, which is actually in Leviticus. And you may think this is an odd place to go. In Leviticus, he's about to give the Israelites a lot of instructions, things to do. The same principle applies here. He's talking about behavior for the Israelites. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And I want you to look at verse 8. He commands them to keep my statutes and do them. Look at that, those next few words. I, the Lord, am the one who sanctifies you. God does that. He even did that with the Israelites. Their purification, their sanctification came from God. Didn't come from themselves. If we get away, anyone who gets away from this truth, and we forget where our sanctification comes from. Our identity came from Him. It doesn't come from what we do or how hard we work or how good we are, because we can't be good enough. And so this is to remind us of the truth of that. That He has come. Remember, the disciples met with Him and they said, oh yes, He is real. He is here. He rose again for me and my life. Every time we break bread, there's a chance to connect deeply with that truth. It's not in me. It's what He did. It's what He did. So that was our goal for today. And just like talking about it is not the same as doing it. You know, when I was in college, I was talking to a girl in college, and we were talking, and she said, you should go to the tutoring lab. And I said, oh yes, that is a good idea. I was agreeing with her intellectually, and she caught on to my tone of voice, and she said, no, you should go. Don't agree with me. Go and do it. Agreeing is not the same as doing it. And so part of the process is doing it. And so we are going to break bread together like we normally do once a quarter. And we're going to have the music team come up and lead us in one song to help prepare our hearts. And then we'll break bread together. So why don't we do that?